Coming to you from the IL Podcast Studios in the Baltimore, Maryland, worldwide headquarters of Inside Lacrosse, it's the D-Fly and Dixie Podcast, featuring Inside Lacrosse and Big Ten Network analyst Mark Dixon. I'm your host, Dan Flynn. Dix, let's get it. Dix, an exciting weekend of lacrosse. Really the first good weekend of the season. But also, two things. Today, we're recording on Tuesday morning. It's Mardi Gras, so it's a happy Fat Tuesday to you.
Is it Fat Tuesday already?
Yeah, I know.
I saw the king cake in the IL break room. Jeff Shannon.
Jeff Shannon, our Tulane alum.
Yeah.
Always brings one of those in. I don't know exactly where he gets it from, but it's really good. And he brings one in every year. It's kind of cool. And Valentine's Day. This is going to drop on Wednesday. So happy Valentine's Day to Mrs. Dixon and you're definitely your better half.
Absolutely.
And to all our female listeners out there.
And happy
as well.
Valentine's Day to Mrs. Flynn.
Oh, thank you.
Definitely your better half.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Speaking of better halves. So my brother-in-law is watching the Delaware Mount St. Mary's game on LAC Sports Network, mm-hmm. and one of the commentators was like, "Hey, they brought up you and the podcast that you do at Inside Lacrosse, the Mark Dixon Show."
Oh, is that what they called it?
They're like, "Mark Dixon has a podcast."
That was properly named.
And I was texting back and forth with my brother-in-law. I'm like, "So did they mention me too?" He's like, "What? No. We're just talking about Mark Dixon's podcast and Inside Lacrosse and how good it is." And I'm like, "It is called the D-Fly and Dixie Podcast."
Thank you to those announcers. I know one of the announcers, I believe, was Tim McGeaney, who played
Loyola.
All-American goaltender from Loyola. I watched a little bit of that game. I thought he did a great job. So thanks, guys. I did not hear that part, but welcome to the Mark Dixon Podcast.
Well, this is basically... Again, for new listeners out there, so Dixie always wrote like a Tuesday takeaway column, and this is basically morphed into that, where he will lend his knowledge to an insight into the games from the past week and into the upcoming games in podcast form rather than in written form. And since I have known him and suffered through our friendship for almost 30 years now.
Suffered through your friendship.
I got the short straw, and they said, "You have to be his co-host and producer."
It was a lottery that no one wanted to win in the Inside Lacrosse office.
Yeah, and set up man. So I put this thing together, and he comes in and drops knowledge on all of you people out there. So
one of these days, we'll have to tell the story about when we first met. I don't know if you remember or not. It was a BIA basketball game between Wawa and Fiji.
Oh yeah. Man, those were always Donnybrooks.
It was a good game, but you and I tangled, and there was a guy who like I think I fouled you hard, and I was like, "Hey, sorry." And like some guy was like, and
I
was
like, "Guess who they were?
Shut up."
I can guess who that probably was.
So next time I came down on a fast break, and he was trying to get into the lane, and I think I didn't even go for the shot. Like, I kept the ball in my hand, but I jumped, and I just had, like, my Ralph Macchio left leg. Like
the Heisman.
Yeah, pretty much, but with my leg out. Like,
you just kicked me, by the way.
Drop kicked him. It wasn't you, but it was somebody
else. But you
just
kicked me under the table.
Oh, my bad. Now you know what he felt like. Except it went right through his chest, which was
good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
There were some guys who were former basketball players for the Blue Jays who then became like intramural stalwarts. We used to destroy teams in intramural basketball. My fraternity had a lot of basketball guys in it, but also some ex-basketball players. And we would just we would beat some fraternities like 105-31.
But let's frame this up. You're talking about Hopkins, so you're taking on Phi Psi and SIGEP and
DU.
These guys are all my size minus probably 30, 40 pounds. And then never, we're part of basketball to them was,
they got the short saw, short end of the straw at their fraternity. And was like, "You got to go play hoops and represent our fraternity tonight."
Some of them weren't like that though. Some of them like really thought they were athletes and really got into it. And were
that is for sure too. Yeah.
But Tep had some guys that could. That
yeah, they did.
They had some decent athletes. Tep had some decent athletes, but the other.
Yeah, they had a couple like football guys or something who played in
Fiji. We had a lot of ex-football guys, mm-hmm. and we actually won the football championship my sophomore year. It was pretty cool. We beat, I don't even remember, Wawa.
Probably us.
I'm not sure if we beat Wawa or not in the playoffs, but we beat Tep in the championship.
Our guys at Wawa. We stayed on the football team.
Yeah. Well, you know, they didn't stay on the basketball team, that's for sure.
Well, there were just a lot of them. All right, let's get to lacrosse. Dix, there were a couple of really good games I want to start with, and then we'll do some drive-bys, some bigger games of the weekend. Number 13, Johns Hopkins downs number 14, Towson, 14-6 at Homewood Field on Saturday night in the rain. It was on ESPNU. National audience got to watch it. Not that they can't watch stream games as well, but this is a good game for the Jays fans. Blue Jays led 5-0 after the first quarter, 11-2 at halftime. And what a return for Patrick Foley, close defenseman who missed last year's season. He was ineligible. Comes out and scores the first goal of the game. Like, welcome back, sir.
And we talked about that throughout the preseason and then last week on our – Foley not only is Hopkins' best defenseman, I think he might be their best player.
Yeah, you said that before.
And the energy and the other guy, too, that I'm just really impressed with both in preseason and then in the first game is Robert Kuhn, the long stick midfielder. Both Foley and Kuhn bring an element of speed and energy that I think Hopkins has been lacking the last couple of years. Even though Kuhn was on the team and just between – they really –
guys are supposed to get better, too.
That's true.
Working hard.
But what I – how about Brock Turnbull? Save.
Yeah, he looked really
good.
And
he's just spot clearing. He's just throwing the ball to a spot, hoping that most of the time it was Kuhn or Foley get there. And I think at one point there was an outlet, and Quint and Don Zimmerman were calling the game, and I think it may have been Zim was like, oh, that's an Aaron outlet pass or whatever, but it was put in a spot. It wasn't put right on a stick. It was just put to a spot, and eventually one of the Hopkins guys got there and really started their transition. So great win for Hopkins. I was on Homewood's campus on Friday. Ran into a couple of people, and you know, what do you think? And I gave them my take, and then they're like, "Yeah, this is probably going to be 5-4, 6-5. It's going to be because the thought was Wood offer Towson would control the faceoffs,
and he did,
and then Towson would play slowdown, which I think they were trying to do, but they turned the ball over. Yeah. You mentioned the 5 turnover; they could not catch and throw,
and some penalties in the first quarter that just got them behind
exactly.
The eight ball.
I mean, 5-0 at Hopkins. A place you haven't won since 1996. That's a huge hole to dig out of. Yeah. So great job by Hopkins. Came out with a ton of energy. They executed. They made Towson pay for their mistakes. One thing I would be leery of is the second half. I thought the second half, they got outscored 4-3. Towson made a switch in goal. I was surprised that they started Brennan in net and not Miller. Miller played in last year's game against Hopkins and beat the Blue Jays. I just think a more experienced guy coming back on the road season opener would have been the way to go, but it's not Brendan's fault by any stretch of the imagination, but I thought Miller played really well, and I thought Hopkins didn't. So it was really a tale of two halves. So you always want to keep positive going. Great opening win, but if there's one thing to take away, it's you got it. It was an uneven game. You know, the first 30 minutes were much, much better than the last 30 minutes.
I agree with you, but when it's 11-2 at halftime in those type of weather conditions, the game's effectively over. So it wasn't as if it was 9-3 in the second half. You know, 4-3, they played even, let's put it that way. So good first effort. Kyle Maher had 4 goals and 2 assists all in the first half.
Sneaky, you know, he's a second team All Big Ten selection a year ago. He tends to be forgotten when you talk about Tinney, Shaq Stanwyck, other players for Hopkins. You know, Kyle Maher is one that tends to slip your mind, if you will. And I thought he had a really breakout year last year, and he started out 2018 on the right foot for certain.
A couple of Hopkins seniors got on the scoring charts. Joel Tinney had 2 goals and 2 assists. Shaq Stanwyck had 1 goal and 2 assists. And you mentioned Turnbull; he had 13 saves. Nick, I saw you rocking a There's No Place Like Homewood right? shirt, Inside Lacrosse. You can get them on our store, on yep. InsideLacrosse.com, when you visited on Friday.
Yeah. So I was able to get one of those shirts with the caveat that I would help promote it. So what better way than I was around?
You're a promotional machine.
Well, I was around Hopkins on Friday, and I'm trying to think of a good way to do this. And I'm like, what better than to get it taken in front of the statue of Mr. Scott and I'm always impartial as a broadcaster, unbiased, mm-hmm. But I'm always a Blue Jay at heart. So it was
forever a Blue Jay.
So it was fun. it was fun to do that. But I mean, you got a whole series. You know, you got the Towson has one, mm-hmm. Maryland has one, Navy has one. So it's a very, you know,
Syracuse has one.
Syracuse.
We're working on some others.
Okay.
Albany has one.
Cool.
I want to make one that has you've seen like the Joe Flacco Elite kind of shirt. Where it was like the old Obama thing where it says like hope underneath it. You know, like the treatment.
Oh, yeah, I do know the Obama
I
one.
I want one like that of Bob Scott. Okay. It says Scotty underneath it.
That'd be great.
I would wear that.
I
would wear that shirt.
I would. Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
All right, moving down to another really important game, really good game. Number 15, Virginia, comes back to beat number 10, Loyola, in double overtime, 13-12. Docs Aiken scores the game winner for the Wahoos. What's your takeaways on this one?
Yeah, I saw a little bit of this game. It was streamed, and both teams, I think, are really athletic. Credit to Virginia for coming back. It's always really, really close when these two teams play. I should have looked it up before we came in here, but I got to imagine this might be the third or fourth straight one-goal affair between these guys, or pretty darn close. So Virginia fell behind and was able to battle back, which is what you want to do when you're at home. And, you know, crummy weather conditions across the country on Saturday, rain in the, you know, the mid-Atlantic, northeast, and then, you know, snow.
In Colorado.
Of course. Yeah. I mean,
oh, my goodness.
People are like, you got to push the season back. I'm like, it's early February in Colorado. What do you think you're going to get? Although somebody educated me and said that the biggest snow month in Colorado is actually April, believe it or not. But anyway, I digress.
I mean, it could have been 70 degrees the next day.
It could have been 70 degrees in the next 6 hours. Yeah. You know, weather there just rolls up on you. It rolls up hard. But, you know, great win for Virginia. I like the depth of scoring that the Cavaliers got. Even Ian Laviano scored 5, but then you have Aiken, Kraus, Mario, Fox, you know, one goal. The game winner by Docs Aiken was ridiculous. I mean, everybody's like, oh, he swam and he muscled his way through the defense. It was bad defense by Loyola. Yeah. I mean, guy comes off the wing, picks up a ground ball, okay. Guy gets into your restraining box, okay. Guy gets to 10, 8, 10, and you know, just kind of goes through your defense, and you don't, you know, lay. I know it sounds weird. You know, you can't hit the big hit. You can't do the big hit, but there was just, like, no contact on Aiken as he scored that game winner. So, but kudos to him for making a big play at a crucial moment. He had 2 assists to go along with that game-winning goal. I thought this game, there's a couple of things. One, Scott Hooper from Virginia did a wonderful job on Pat Spencer after Spencer went off early on, and it was 7-3 at half.
So can I ask you, like, I think Spencer had 3 goals and 2 assists in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't do much in the second half. What did they? How'd they change your defense? What'd they do?
Well, initially they were shutting Spencer off, but then they just put Hooper and they basically said go 1-on-1. You know, you're going to be all by yourself defending him. Very similar to the way Ohio State defended Spencer in last year's NCAA first round. It was just straight up defense. And I thought Hooper did a great job. And Spencer is one of the better players in the country. But I think Hooper got the better of that matchup in the second half. And Loyola's offense seemed to be a little bit more stagnant with Spencer not as involved. And then I think the other big thing was this game was really won in the midfield. Alex McGovern was held to double donuts, 0-0. He moved from attack to the midfield. And when you lose guys like Sherlock and Romar Dennis, you need somebody to step up. And, you know, you had John Duffy had a great game with 3 goals. But I just thought Virginia had a little bit more balance in the midfield. I think that's a big area where they had the advantage in this game.
Monmouth transfer Justin Swank won 16 of 26 faceoffs for mm-hmm. Virginia. So that was an area of concern. And he had a good showing in this first game out.
Interesting little tidbit. That's the second faceoff man that has transferred out of Monmouth over the last 4 years or so. Duncan Campbell, who was the faceoff man for Salisbury last year when they won the national championship, started his career at Monmouth. And now you have Schwenk leaving Monmouth and doing some great things for Virginia. And I think, you know, if you want to draw anything from that, Monmouth continues to do pretty darn well. Mm. Won their conference last year.
And NEC.
The NEC. And did, you know, so.
No, the MAC.
Is the MAC? That's
yes,
right.
My bad. The MAC.
They are the MAC. Yeah. So they continue to get things done, even though they got a couple faceoff guys leaving the
program.
Leaving the nest.
All right. A couple, get your quick thoughts on a couple of other games. Maryland beats Navy 10-4. Rotans and Bubba Fairman score 3 goals each.
It's just kind of a grinded out game. Navy is just looking for answers right now. They get their face-off man, Joe Varello, back after getting scorched in that category when they were in Jacksonville. But Maryland's just, they're deep. You know, Connor Kelly, to me, is the best player in lacrosse. Bubba Fairman came in with a lot of hype and showed why. Tim Rotans continues to get better. He's another guy that's just kind of forgotten in the scheme of things because you have Connor Kelly, because you have Jared Bernhardt now. Even with the graduation of Heacock and Maltz and Rambo and players like that, you still tend to forget that Rotans is a fifth-year guy with a ton of experience and a ton of productivity. So great job by the Maryland Terrapins, who lost Bryce Young in this game.
Oh, no, he didn't suit up.
He didn't suit up at all.
No,
okay.
I don't think so.
Yeah, so I missed the beginning of the game. So he's.
I think he had a practice injury.
He's undergoing some kind of injury right now. So we'll have to wait and see what his status is. But to lose a guy like Bryce Young, after you graduate Tim Muller, you know, National Schmeiser Award winner, Defender of the Year, and a new defensive coordinator, Jesse Bernhardt, to turn in that kind of defensive effort speaks to the prowess of the Maryland Terrapins.
Another team that turned in an outstanding defensive effort was the UMBC Retrievers. They get their season started with a 9-6 win over Richmond. And they've got some great goal play from a new goalkeeper.
Yeah, I was able to watch UMBC play Georgetown in a scrimmage and impressed with their athleticism and also how they take care of the ball. Like, they're a very fundamentally sound team. They're not incredibly deep, but to have a Richmond team that has been pegged the Southern Conference preseason favorite, a team that was supposed to be full throttle offensively, you know, this is a group that lost a lot on the defensive end to get, I think Terry Foy tweeted out, because he was at the game, he said,
yeah, Terry was there,
heading to UMBC Richmond for this season opener, what are we expecting or something? And I think like two or three responses were Richmond to blow them out, Richmond to kill them, spiders all the way, you know, it was... Mm-hmm. So Richmond, I think, was heavily favored in this game, and for UMBC to get that win and to be led by two freshmen, I think it was that speaks volumes to the work that Ryan Moran and his players are doing in Catonsville.
And one of the more surprising results of the weekend, North Carolina escapes Furman in overtime, 15-14. Are we close to hitting panic mode in Chapel Hill?
I mean, yeah, it's early season, and but look, you know, Furman is a team that's much improved. They improved drastically over the course of the season in 2017. So in 2018, they're no slouch. I mean, I know they were handled pretty, pretty easily at home by Vermont, but Furman can play and they can score some goals. I think what you're seeing is, defensively, North Carolina really needs to rebuild itself after losing Pafani.
Yeah, they've given up 24 goals in 2 games to Lafayette and Furman.
Yeah, at home. At home. So definitely red flags if you're Joe Bresci and his staff. But better to have these problems in February than to have them, you know, come April and May, try to correct them. But
W's a W.
Is that
what you say?
Well, W's a W, but again, there's a lot of work to be done, and we said it in the preseason. This is a team that's going to win a lot of 15-14s, 17-16s, but that's not the recipe to win a national championship. You can't give up that many goals and expect to contend for or to win a national title. So things have to be tightened up on the defensive end for the Tar Heels.
A team that has tightened up things on defense. Number 20, Boston U. Then number 20, Boston U.
Great segue. Look at you. You're playing well.
That's what I do.
That's why you are a good host.
Thank you. So they go to Columbus, Ohio to play the number 7 Buckeyes. And the Buckeyes are up 10-1 at halftime and just put this one away. They end up winning 15-9. They're just getting it started and rolling in Columbus.
They are. And it's... They've never lost a game in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center, so it's a huge home field advantage. We talked about Penn State giving up a lead to Villanova in Hullabah and then ultimately losing in overtime, and that's just you can't do that, you know? So for Ohio State, BU travels a little, you know, to the quote-unquote Midwest, almost Midwest light, I guess. And
feeling, Heartland.
The Heartland. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah, Columbus is great. I love visiting Ohio State. They were feeling good about themselves, come from behind victory over Providence to start their season off. And Ohio State did exactly what you need to do to a team that's coming in with momentum and some confidence and thinking they can beat you. And they went up full throttle and got out to a huge lead and then were able to take that 15-9. You look at Ohio State, how they get after ground balls and how they do the little things, how they do the dirty work is just really, really impressive. And, you know, it's a team that I think has definitely received the message that 2017 is over. The appearance in a national championship game is history. This is 2018. So this team, it's interesting, you know, so the best program, both season and program history a year ago, and these guys are playing with a huge chip on their shoulder.
Well, I'd expect nothing less than from a Nick Myers coach team.
Sure. But remember, we always talk about, you know, high watermark with a season followed by a dud. High watermark, dud. So you can definitely see that they are they're playing an incredibly high level right now. And it helps to have those games in Woody Hayes where they are so far unbeatable.
Dix, before we get to, I want to get your thoughts on the second Maverick media poll. Before that, I see that you're drinking a Trimino over there.
Yes, I have
finally got some in the office.
I've got the orchard flavor, and it's quite good.
Yeah, I'm drinking the citrus. It's quite delightful. Trimino is protein-infused water, has 7 grams of whey protein and essential B vitamins to fuel your game. No sugars, no carbs, and only 28 calories. You could drink these all day and not get filled up. Trimino is ideal before, during, or after your workout, and it tastes great. Comes in 7 delicious flavors, including 3 new flavors, of which we're trying a couple of them here, citrus and orchard.
Yeah.
Plus good. Raspberry limeade, which I saw in there.
Yeah, I love raspberry, and I really, really like lime, but together, I don't know.
Got to try.
I will give it a shot.
You can grab these from the fridge and inside lacrosse, but you could also get them at CVS, and I think you can buy a case on Amazon.
Go to CVS and go to Amazon. Don't come up to Inside Lacrosse.
Please don't come here.
And try to. But if you do, tell them Dan Flynn sent you.
Yeah, you'll get right past.
And then just like the guys announcing the Delaware Mount St. Mary's game, Stephanie up front will be like, "Who?"
Yeah, that's fine. I like to be the guy behind the scenes. That's fine with me. Trimino increases energy and endurance, and even curbs your appetite. So play hard, not hungry. Protein has never tasted so good. All right, the second Maverick media poll of the season is out, and there's some changes from the preseason one. So number 10 is UVA. They move up from number 15, I think. Coming in at number 9 is Notre Dame. Hopkins cracks the top 10 at number 8. Syracuse, 7. Ohio State, 6. And the top 5 is Yale, Albany, Denver, Maryland, and number 1, Duke. Dix, where do you have those teams ranked? I want to get your top 10.
Well, okay, so my top 10, first of all, I don't know how Rutgers drops out of the top 10. That's great. I mean, I know they had 2 ho-hum wins, if you want to call them, but they're still wins.
I guess it's teams moving up. I think people were impressed by
people. When Virginia beats Loyola and Hopkins beats Towson, I get it. But still, you know, win's a win. And along those lines, so my number 10 is Carolina. I think I had them preseason number 9, so they drop a notch. Hopkins, number 9. Ohio State, 8. I got Virginia at 7. I had Virginia bounce up, but I had them preseason 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I had them 8th in preseason.
So you're buying stock in the
No, I'm not. I had UVA at number 9. Did I? I can't remember. Hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
You need a spreadsheet, man. He's got all these notes handwritten, and then his lines don't line up, so he has to count them.
I don't know what's going on.
He's got 3 columns, so he's got like his preseason, last week, and this week.
Yeah, and they're not lining up at all.
You need like one of those rulers, and you got to like draw the lines.
I need a steno.
I'm gonna take a picture of this and I'll post it on the interwebs.
It looks like Virginia might be 15 in my preseason. So hold, you know, but they moved up quite a bit.
So you were impressed with their win.
I was, but you know what? This is my preseason. So I have them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I had them 9th. okay. in my preseason, ninth. This is just, this was an exercise that Matt Kinnear asked me to do on the left-hand side. So I had him ninth preseason. I have moved up to seven. Albany, six. Rutgers, five. Denver, four. Yale, three. Maryland, two. And Duke at number one. So, yeah, sorry. It took a while to get through my chicken scratch and my just very crazy way of keeping track. But, no, that's what I have. I got Notre Dame at 11, right outside of my top 10 where they were in the preseason. Army moved up a few spots with an impressive win over UMass. And Villanova is a new entrant into my top 20. I've got them right around the 14-15 mark. Penn State dropped after the loss to Villanova.
So we have we'll get to the five to watch in a few minutes. But there could be some big shakeup in here because a lot of these teams are getting together this weekend.
Well, Duke and Denver play on really Friday excited. Night. And yeah. I mean, do you just give the win to Denver? They never lose to Duke in February, it seems. Oh, no.
Duke's playing some really good.
Duke's fantastic.
We'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
Let's just finish recapping last week. The Epic Isle Committed Academy Alumni of the Week, a new feature. Last year we just did freshmen. Now we have two classes of kids that are playing in college now, freshmen and sophomores.
Look out.
So here's our three nominees. I'm going to name who they are. Then you're going to tell me who you think would win.
Okay.
And then I'll tell you how the poll came out. So we do a Twitter poll. Our three candidates, Jake Tomczyk of Quinnipiac, had four goals and one assist in their loss. Ian Laviano of Virginia, five goals and one assist. Big breakout game for him in their win over Loyola. And Mike Hawkins of Colgate, four goals and three assists in their 18-12 win over Marist. So you got Tomczyk, Laviano, and Hawkins. Who would be your pick for the Epic Isle Committed Academy Alumni of the Week? Drum roll, please.
I'll go Laviano.
Oh! That is what the people said, too, Dix.
Really?
You are a man of the people.
Look at me.
Yeah, he got 73% of the vote to take home the first Committed Academy Alumni of the Week award in 2018. Congrats on a great game, a good win for the Hoos, and a great start to the season for Ian Laviano. Hey, Dix, sideline swap is where lacrosse players buy and sell their gear. You can shop heads, helmets, shafts, and gloves. Up to 70% off, or snag hard-to-find college gear. You know what I'm trying to get now? I want a Joel Tinney Culver Academy throwback jersey.
He wore it 4 years ago. Is that really considered a throwback?
Sure. So my nephew goes to Culver.
Okay.
And I was texting him during the game. I'm like, you got to get one of those for me, man. This is going to be pretty hard to do.
So this is a silly question. I should know this as it's our sponsor, but is Sideline Swap lacrosse only?
They have all sports. They have all sports.
So what I want is the right cleat from Dan Flynn in 1992 as Hopkins punter. That's what I would like to have.
I don't know if you're going to be able to get that.
With good reason. But I would.
I don't think it's for sale, first of all. It's in a case. It's encased in a glass box.
Right, right.
In my trophy room.
Oh, it's in your. I thought you were going to say it's in Coach Margraf's office, remembering that.
They soaked it in like gold and they made it into like a trophy. They're an award.
Here is the right foot of Dan Flynn, who averaged 23 yards a punt during his
28. Come on, a lot of touchbacks. I mean, a lot of kicks inside the 20. That's what I meant to say.
Dan Flynn back to kick. Oh, why they call you the Shankmeister? That's what I want. I want like Dan Flynn punter great. Memorabilia.
I love Hopkins. It. I love it. Oh man. So head to Sideline Swap, and you can get anything there, whether it's old or new.
Yeah.
Football, lacrosse, doesn't matter. Sidelineswap.com. That's SIDELINESWAP.com. Or you can download the iPhone app today, which makes things even easier. But head to Sideline Swap and get what you want. All right, man. We got to move on. Oh, before we move to the games to watch this week, Dix, we have a call-in number now.
Yes.
You can call and leave us a message. We'll play your voicemail. We'll include it into the podcast, and then we'll answer your questions. So the number to call is 443-595-7020. 443-595-7020. When you're watching the games on Saturday or Sunday, you got a thought, a comment, a question, call up, leave a voicemail. I think we have a call. Do you want to?
Oh, we did. Yeah.
Okay. So here's our first call that we got. One of the calls that we like from this past weekend.
Hi, this is Tammy from Towson. This is for Dan Flynn. I was wondering if you weren't too busy, we could go to the Bruce Springsteen concert in Parsippany this weekend. If you were free, give me a shout. I'm not going to leave my number because I'm going to let you look me up.
Well, thanks, Tammy, for your call. That was caught us a little off guard. I mean, we thought that you'd be wanting to talk about lacrosse, but you know that we always...
We're multi-topic.
We love Springsteen on this podcast, and I'd love to go to a show with you sometime. I'll probably bring my wife and maybe even my kids, but it would be quite a joy. I love Springsteen. I don't know when he's touring again, but when he does, it may be his last tour, so go out and see him.
Hi, this is Don from Dundalk. I think Springsteen sucks. I'm with Dixie. Definitely listen to Pearl Jam every now and again, but Bruce Springsteen is god awful, as is Bon Jovi. Thanks a lot, and go Delaware.
There is no one from Dundalk named Don who does not also love Bon Jovi.
You might be right on that. I mean, look,
it's a little light though. I mean, there's some hard rocking guys from Dundalk.
Now, you think about lacrosse players. David Evans, All-American from Brown, is from Dundalk. Absolutely.
Is he the best player ever from Dundalk?
He might be. He's pretty good. You know who else is from Dundalk is Dick Adell.
That's
Remember
right.
Talking to Coach Adell?
Yeah.
Yeah, he one of his first coaching gigs was at Dundalk High.
No, was it like Dundalk Elementary School?
Dundalk Elementary School?
He was the gym teacher there.
Yeah.
Go back and listen to that podcast Dixie and I did.
That was Dick Adell. That was great.
From the fall. It's excellent.
It's not Dundalk. If you're from Baltimore, it's Dundalk. If I'm Dundalk.
Yeah, so. We had a guy in our, speaking of Wawa, Denny Danielczyk from Dundalk. What a guy. What a man. He took me to a bull roast there one time. It was one of the best times I had in college. It was just like a random Sunday. He's like, you want to go to a bull roast?
So it might sound more like this.
Yeah, this is Danny from Dundalk. Just calling in. You guys have a great show, and I just want to let you know that I think Maryland is the best team out there. And what do you think their chances are of repeating as national title holders in 2018? I'm gonna hang up and listen to you. Thanks for the show.
Well, that's a good question, and I'll let Dixie handle this one. I think Maryland has a good chance to repeat, but I'd love to get your thoughts.
Yeah, well, let me tell you. I forget what the gentleman's name was, but I have him number two in my preseason poll just based on everything that they lost in terms of scoring, leadership, guys like Isaiah Davis Allen. But I think Maryland is when you look at their schedule, pretty tough schedule. But I think that I would not bet against John Tillman getting back to championship weekend.
Okay.
That's how it goes down. You get the call, yep. We play it, and then we give our answer.
Yep, just like that. So talking about schedule, there's some great games this weekend. So this, our next segment here, the five to watch next week, it starts on Friday night. Marquee matchup, number three Denver heads the number one Duke. Denver's coming off of a win in blizzard conditions that we've mentioned at Air Force, an 11-5 win. And Duke beat up on Jacksonville on High Point last weekend. Duke is averaging 18 goals per game and only yielding 6. And my man Gutterding is averaging 9 points a game.
Yeah, 27 points in his first three games. Duke is probably going to put Dylan Gaines on Gutterding, and we saw Dylan Gaines the last time he was on the national stage defending Matt Rambo in the national semifinal game last year and really kept the Tourtime winner under wraps. Decided advantage here for Denver at the faceoff dot. And long possessions, you know, the Pioneers really like to kind of lull you to sleep with great stick work and long possessions. This is a great early season matchup. I kind of said tongue-in-cheek a little earlier that Denver seems to always win this game in early February, but it'll be a great game between the Pioneers and the Duke Blue Devils because, you know, this win will go some way towards having a feather in your cap for the NCAA tournament, but it's not an end-all, be-all kind of thing because both these teams play such good schedules. And
it's so early in the season.
It is really early in the season, but it's great to get a barometer of where you are.
I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say that this game is going to come down to goaltending. And I think whatever goalie has a better game, that team wins the game.
Both goaltenders, Reddy and Fowler, when you entered 2018, question marks But both have played well up to this point. So we'll see. That it could very well come down to goaltending when you have the amount of offensive firepower each team possesses.
Next marquee game to watch is two teams coming into the game from very different perspectives. Number 8, Johns Hopkins, coming off a great win. Number 12, Loyola, coming off a really disappointing heartbreaker. What are your thoughts on this one?
Loyola's going to be jacked to play this game, as is Hopkins. It's a Charles Street rivalry, won last year by Joel Tinney of the Blue Jays. Who can forget that goal where he just came across the face of Loyola's defense and got it back in his left hand and stuck the game winner. But it's a big game for both teams. Loyola wants to get, obviously, in the win column and put a mark on their ledger for, you know, these early season February games. When you get the wins, they're like buying just a good stock, and a few months later you can cash it in if other things don't go your way. So Loyola definitely would like to get the W. I think they're going to look for a little bit more midfield production than they got down in Charlottesville. And for the Blue Jays, it's all about building momentum, continuing to get better. Great first half against Towson, not as great of an effort in the second 30 minutes against the Tigers. But I think you've shown that your goaltender can make saves when given the opportunity, and they can run. You know, they can get in transition. Loyola's defense is big and athletic, and I was impressed with them against Virginia. It'll be interesting to see how they match up against Hopkins' attack. And then, of course, if you're Hopkins, Patrick Foley or Pat Spencer, I think, is the matchup. I think that'll be the matchup, and that's going to be really interesting to witness.
Try and check the weather here.
He's supposed to be in the 50s on Saturday in Baltimore.
Ooh, I don't know, man. I'm looking February 17th. PM snow showers, 1 to 3 inches, a high of 40, low of 27. So that should be right during the game.
Okay. What time's the game? I think it's being carried on the Patriot League network as well.
Game's at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
So right in the middle of the day. Loyola always has a good fan turnout for this particular game.
Yep.
And I expect them to have it, despite the weather, that the Greyhounds fans will show up for this one. Two other quick games, then we'll get to what some people might think of the most exciting game of the weekend. Number 15, Villanova, and number 5, Yale, are going to play down in the Star in Frisco, Texas. First time we get to see Yale this season.
Neutral site, perfect conditions, and Villanova, huge opening season win against Penn State. A lot of buzz around the Wildcats. Yale, a team that I've got ranked 3rd in my preseason poll. A lot of people thinking that they can get to championship weekend for the first time since 1990. Ben Reeves and company, just they can score goals. I'll be interested to see Yale's goalie situation, who gets the starting nod. And that was a real Achilles heel last year, just real inconsistent goaltending. But I think that it's going to be a really, really good game between the Wildcats and the Bulldogs. And we'll see, you know, kind of like, you know, Jacksonville, Navy. Jacksonville swamps the midshipmen. A lot of positive momentum. People are really, really high on Jacksonville. The Dolphins go to Duke this past weekend, get blitzed by the Blue Devils. All of a sudden, the bloom is off that rose a little bit. Will that happen to Villanova? You know, people really high on Villanova after Penn State win. Some expectations have been generated. How will they acquit themselves against Yale?
Number 13, Army, hosts number 11, Rutgers, this Saturday. Army had a great win over UMass, 18-6.
18-6. David Sims is a beast in the midfield. He just trucks guys and great scorer, and they've got other guys that could put it in the back of the net as well. This is a huge test for Rutgers, and I think this is almost like a tone setter for the season. And Rutgers and Army had very similar 2017s. I thought Rutgers was more worthy of an NCAA berth last year than Army was, because the Scarlet Knights beat the Black Knights head-to-head in the season. That to me should be non-negotiable in a lot of ways. But then again, Hopkins lost to Rutgers twice in 2016, right? Or was it 2016. Hopkins lost to Rutgers twice and still got in the tournament over the Scarlet Knights. But Rutgers had a couple bad losses in that season. But in any event, this should be a really, really good game between two very balanced teams, two very experienced teams, and two teams playing with chips on their shoulders.
a game I know that you are interested in, Stony Brook at Penn State. You'll be calling this game on the Big Ten Network, 2 p.m. on Saturday.
Hot off the presses. First BTN game of the year. We're really excited to bring it to lacrosse fans. It'll be me and Joe Beninati. Joe B. Early season, Joe B. So watch out. I'm sure he'll be in mid-season form. But Stony Brook coming off of a loss to Sacred Heart. Many people now feeling like Sacred Heart could be one of those under-the-radar teams. I think they were predicted to finish fifth in the Northeast Conference. And Stony Brook fell behind in that game and had a late rally against Sacred Heart and just couldn't, you know, score the last five goals of the game, but still fell short. And they'll go to a Penn State team that righted the ship. Big win over Hobart this past weekend, 15-8. Corrected some things and cleaned some things up that weren't there in the Villanova loss. Colby Canise played a very, very good game, went the whole way. And you know, this is an offense minus Aponte, minus that first midfield from a year ago offensively, and then Grant Ament is still week to week with a lower leg injury. So we'll see if he's able to go or not, but we're really excited to kick off the BTN coverage in 2018.
Have you talked to the coaches yet?
Not yet. No, not yet. That'll be later in the
spring. When do you usually do that?
Typically by Wednesday or Thursday, because okay. That gives Joe an opportunity. It gives both of us opportunity to make our boards and get our ducks in a row.
And maybe the game that people have been looking for the entire offseason, Albany gets started. Number 4 Albany travels to number 7 Syracuse for what should be a really exciting game. Always is. Syracuse, man, what a game they
laid the beat down on Binghamton,
21-4, and everyone scored. Everyone scored.
And it was over quick. And Binghamton, they've been doing some good things under Coach Kevin McEwen. I believe they were picked to finish. Stony Brook picked to finish second in the American East behind Albany. Binghamton third.
Yeah.
So credit to Syracuse. This is an Orange team, I believe, that's playing with house money in 2018. Not a whole lot of expectations, but you want to talk about a team that's playing with motivation. They don't want to become another class to not make championship weekend, not, you know, be a group of seniors and to not make a championship weekend. So they came out firing, and this is going to be exciting this weekend. Albany versus Syracuse. I might go out a little bit on a limb. I think Albany's the definite favorite in this game.
They're the higher ranked team.
But I can't remember the last time Albany came into the Carrier Dome as a favorite.
I don't think they've ever been the favorite.
Were there. Syracuse. So I think
Syracuse is rarely an underdog.
Especially
period.
At home.
Yeah.
But I think this is one of those times where Albany is a clear favorite over the Orange. And it should
clear
be
clear favorite?
I think so. I mean, when you talk about face-offs, Ireland back for Albany, you know, you got Fields, you got Nanacoke is going to make his collegiate debut. And look, man, I mean, Albany is everybody's picking the Great Danes to go to championship weekend.
Everybody is in love with the Danes.
Everybody
is. Get on the Dane train.
Big time. Everyone is in love with Albany. Not many people are in love with Syracuse this year. So, yeah, I definitely think that they're a prohibitive favorite in this game.
Dix, I'm being refreshed. As you're talking, I'm drinking my Trimino, and I can just feel the energy and the protein flowing through my body.
You look like it. It's like that the commercial. I think it's a Geico commercial where, like, frame by frame, the guy gets bigger and bigger as he's lifting. I can see with every sip of the Trimino, you're getting more fit and more everything.
I don't think I need to eat lunch. I got 7 grams of protein.
Right. Okay, I want to hold you to that. As you go and get a big old, you know, Chipotle burrito with extra sour cream.
All right, it's time for our give and go. This week, Dix, have you been watching the Olympics? I've been trying to watch get my kids involved watching the Olympics.
My wife loves the Olympics. So the Olympics are on in our house every night. My wife does not watch television. So, yeah, I've been watching a little bit of it.
All right, so our give and go this week is, what are your favorite events of the Winter Olympics, because there's some stuff that you don't really get to see a whole lot. Some things I'll just start with that are maybe the dumbest events, things that I can't believe that they even put on TV. So we talk about how there's not more lacrosse on TV, yet I'm watching the biathlon. where a guy does some slow cross-country skiing and then lays down and shoots a rifle. I don't understand how that's an Olympic event.
That's I mean, I'm not saying I like it. That's not easy to do because
I'm not saying that I would be good at it or that it is not hard.
I mean, you ski like 20 yards even with your Tremino, and then you go to shoot and you're just shaking and panting, and you know, you end up shooting the neighbor's cat, you know, something like that. But I see what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. I don't.
Why are they combined? Why isn't it like skiing and shooting some baskets, or you have to shoot a lacrosse? But like, why?
Think about what you just said.
I know it's a training exercise. The Norway military used to do that. Norwegian military.
I didn't even know that. You've been watching way too many.
I know.
Olympics.
I've been watching a lot. Yeah, and the other one is curling. I just can't.
Did you see
it's like shuffleboard on ice? I don't even know what they're doing.
I know.
Guys are scraping the ice.
That is weird. I guess there's been a bunch of phony videos out there, like people doing it with cats. Have you seen that? And then Barstool.
Hank the Dwarf.
Beetlejuice. Now you got me thinking of different things. But there was something on Barstool where college kids were doing it with beer bottles. So like the guy would whip a beer bottle, and then guys are brooming it, and they got a little target and everything. Yeah, curling. I don't really watch curling, so I don't really get it.
But it's on a lot.
Is it?
That's one of the things.
Are
I
you
noticed.
Watching the main network? Are you watching
I
like MSNBC?
Back and forth. Like if it goes to commercial, I 590 like NBC
I haven't
Sports,
even gotten the MSNBC.
I flip back and forth to try to find something interesting. Now I will tell you. Here are my three favorite events that I've seen so far.
All right.
Now I don't mind the snowboarding and stuff like that. It's pretty cool, but luge and bobsled.
Luge is awesome.
It's really cool.
That is awesome.
And I know they're two different events, but they're kind of the same thing.
Well, the luge is ridiculous because if they hit a lip or something.
It happened this morning. There was a major accident.
Oh,
a female
really?
American. She's going to be. She walked away, but I think it. Two Olympics ago, someone died. So it's very dangerous.
Yeah,
which is the speed that they travel down.
Yeah,
the course is remarkable and fun to watch. Downhill skiing. I was watching some combined downhill.
Cool.
They're just going so fast.
I know.
And they're jumping, and then you know they do
and
a
don't they
bit
have
slalom.
To put up and don't they have to put up with like crazy winds in South Korea?
Yes,
that have canceled
they canceled
or postponed
some
of
the skiing
events.
Already. But it's really also really cool to see. The way that they're filming this with drones and helicopters, and it's really fun to watch. And then the one thing that I've always liked, I don't know why, is speed skating.
Speed skating is awesome.
Especially the shorter distances. Just how fast they go and how effortless they make it look. Especially in the longer distances, guy's doing 5,000 meters, and he's just like swinging one arm.
Yeah.
You know? And it's just, they're going so fast, and it's just cool to watch. So those are my three. You got a couple for me?
Hi, Dan. This is Eric Heiden, a former gold medalist, a speed skater for the United States. Thank you for the plug for speed skating. You guys do a great job. You do a great show.
Thanks, Eric.
I think I'm from Minnesota, and that last time I checked, so that we don't have lacrosse out here. But
you do. It's the home of epic lacrosse.
Go USA.
Eric Heiden.
Wow, Eric Heiden.
I was in elementary school, and there was a Winter Olympics, and we had to do a project. You had to pick. You were assigned a sport. Or you picked a sport, and then you had to do like a diorama. Remember those things? So I had like a box, and I made like a speed skating.
Oh yeah, I remember those.
But Eric Heiden was like the hero of that Olympics,
sure.
And that was sort of fostered my love of.
I remember Bill Johnson, the downhill skier,
and the Marr brothers. Remember there was like a
Phil Marr, and I don't know the other guy.
Chico
Marr. And I think one of the guys doing analysis on the downhill this year is Bodie Miller.
It is. He's quite good.
He's really good.
He's good.
I dig that. I dig when former athletes come back and are really on point and articulate.
He knows what he's talking about.
He does.
But it's more than that. I mean, you do TV stuff.
It's
not just knowing what you're talking about. It's being able to
deliver it in a way that people can understand it.
Yeah, and analyze what's happening and explain it to people. Yeah.
So I got to totally agree with you on the luge, completely agree with you on speed skating. I love hockey. I do like hockey. It's not as, I guess this is the NHL players aren't there, which I don't know. I kind of like that a little bit better because, you know, Miracle on Ice back in 1980, I know that'll never be replicated again. And, you know, the call from Al Michaels and all that good stuff, but hockey, I will watch hockey. God, I'm trying to think if I'm missing anything.
Figure skating. Where do you fall on that?
I hate figure skating. I hate, but you know, and which is, you know, why I hate it, because it is so
Erica
subjective.
Loves watching it.
No. The announcers there are entertaining, to say the least, and that's fun.
Tara Lipinski and Johnny Weir.
And they know what they're talking about. Yeah. I mean, they keep you like I end up watching figures. You know, you turn it on, you're like, I don't feel like watching this, but then like 10 minutes later, you're like, I'm still watching it because I'm listening to what they're saying.
My wife loves it, and I'll watch it because of that. But
it's pretty crazy when you consider these people leave their feet and then can land on that little blade.
I appreciate what they're doing. I know it's hard, but it's just there's other ice dancing is.
Well, but it's so subjective, and the scores, and you always have like the French judge who's always a pain in the neck, and I know that's kind of stereotypical.
There was a guy who, a Canadian guy, I was watching the other night. He fell like 3 times.
Yeah.
And had a really high score. Like his score, I don't know how they do it. The compulsory is or something. You got to do a certain
level of difficulty.
And it just kept going up. I thought he got a really good score. I'm like, he fell 3 times.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't get it. I'm not really into. Unless Chaz Michaels is going to come out and.
Is that Blades of Glory?
Unless he's going to come out and do a routine, I'm probably not. You know, I'm not really into it. I'm trying to think if there's the Olympics to me overall are just kind of they're okay. They're all right. It's nothing I really
you mean
get
the Winter
excited
Games
about.
Or the
really like the Summer Games.
I love the Summer Games.
The Summer Games start off quick and I'm really into it, but after I get fatigued, I guess, because I just kind of run out of. I guess swimming is typically the first week. That's the big event, and then track and field is the marquee event in the second. I guess I just get, you know what it is? It's all the doping stuff and all the cheating and
speaking
all the politics.
Cheating, did you notice there's the Olympic athletes from
Russia? The OAR.
What is that?
Yeah. I don't know what it is because I haven't really been paying attention. But there were like a dozen or two Russian athletes that were banned from the game.
More than that.
But then they got reinstated or something like that. Is that going on?
I'll have to read up on that.
Yeah,
I have to read up on
again.
That.
I'm just,
what is this?
Not really into it, but I do. There's not like, I don't really like figure skating. I mean, that's kind of like akin to like synchronized swimming in the Summer Games.
Gymnastics.
I like gymnastics.
I'll watch gymnastics.
I mean, that's rough and tumble, man. No pun intended. I love ski jumping. Ski jumping is another one. That's
awesome. What I watched the other day with my kids. I was like, do you want to see some people fly?
Yeah.
You know, I got a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. They were mesmerized by it.
Ski jumping is legit.
But that's where the weather got them. Like, they had to pull the guys off of there and like, you can't go right now. My kids are like, why isn't anybody going? Like, what are we just sitting here watching? I'm like, all right, we'll look for something else to watch.
Ski jumping is legit. So, you know, it is what it is. And maybe it's also because I'm a little older now. And all the athletes, like Chloe Kim, won the snowboarding, which I thought she was fantastic. She was great. And that snowboarding stuff was cool. She's 17.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
Did you see their interview with her?
No, I didn't.
She had just won the gold medal and wasn't extremely compelling.
So cut her a break, though.
I will. She's 17, and she was really good.
Yeah. Fantastic. I mean, what did she do, the 1080s?
Two in a row.
Whew. Like, good gravy. That's another one,
and
though.
And then a backwards 900 or something like that.
You know what I do think? When these guys start their runs, whether it's skiing or snowboarding, as I was watching it, and this thought went through my head. So they push off and they're going down the hill to whatever, to the half pipe or to, you know, the course. I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, how much training, how many hours have been spent for this moment,
yeah, like
for these three moments?
Three takes, basically
30 45 second runs. How much time, energy, effort, money has been put into this for this moment? And I guess there's world championships, there's grand prix, there's other events,
there's other contests
that they participate, but the Olympics is supposedly the pinnacle of amateur athletics. So those are some of the thoughts I have when I see these guys start out.
Yeah, I used to always say that when I worked at Towson in the athletic department, it seemed like the gymnastics team, which was pretty good at Towson, was practicing all the time, all the time. And then you go to a meet and you see a girl like run down, hit the springboard and do something. You're like, wow, like you practice for hours upon hours upon hours for something that takes 8 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, and you get to do that 3 times, and that's what you're judged on.
Yeah, exactly. So, so again, I'm just I don't want to be a curmudgeon, but I'm not really into the Olympics. But
well, maybe the spirit will overtake you.
Let's see
over the next couple of weeks. And if you can't watch the Olympics, you can always go back and watch lacrosse. You can see Dixon again. You can see
Saturday,
Dixon, Saturday,
2 o'clock Eastern,
Stony Brook at Penn State on the Big Ten Network. Thank you for listening. As always, if you like what you hear, please subscribe. Hit the subscribe button, leave a rating for us, and share it with a friend. Also, don't forget to check out our other podcasts. We drop a new one every weekday now that we're in the season. And not just Division I college lacrosse. You can hear some D3 lacrosse, D2 lacrosse. You can get the women's podcast, the U.S. Boxla podcast with Steve Stamp. Yeah, there's something for everybody And if every lacrosse fan, there's something
out
there. And we'll be doing our IL preps one soon, too. So be on the lookout for that once the high school season gets really rolling all over the country. That's it for us this week. We'll talk to you next week. Enjoy the games.